This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's Comedy Week on Fresh Air. Three of today's guests were once regulars on Saturday Night Live. Chris Rock got his start on the show and also worked on In Living Color. He co-wrote and co-starred in the film CB4, a satire of the rap world, and he appeared in the films Beverly Hills Cop 2, Panther, and New Jack City. His HBO late-night variety show starts up again in September. Chris Rock appeared regularly on the program Politically Incorrect during the presidential campaign as the TV show's campaign correspondent. His comedy is so politically incorrect that political and social commentators have weighed in with their opinions on it. You can hear why on his new CD, Roll with the New, adapted from his HBO special Bring the Pain, which we talked about earlier this year.
Probably the most controversial part of this part of this, cutting right to the chase, is what you describe as the civil war between black people. In fact, let me play an excerpt of this sketch.
Oh, boy.
Now, we got a lot of things, a lot of racism going on in the world right now. Who's more racist, black people or white people? Black people. You know why? Because we hate black people, too. Everything white people don't like about black people really don't like about black people. There's some shit going on with black people right now. It's like a civil war going on with black people. And there's two sides. It's black people and there's niggas. The niggas have got to go. Every time black people want to have a good time, ignorant ass niggas f*** up. Can't do shit. Can't do nothing. Can't keep a disco open more than 3 weeks. Grand opening, grand closing. Can't go to a movie the first week it come out. Why? Because niggas are shooting at the screen.
What is the range of reaction, Chris Rock, that you've gotten to this sketch?
Wow, you know what's weird?
What?
It's been nothing but positive reaction. This whole special, the only negative reaction I've ever gotten from this special, and I'm not jumping on a bandwagon here trying to get, you know, famous, is Bill Cosby.
What did he say?
Well, he didn't say anything. He just wanted his, in the beginning of the special, I have a bunch of old comedy album covers flashing. And these are just guys I grew up with and I really loved. And it's Bill Cosby and it's Woody Allen and it's Flip Wilson and Dick Gregory and Pygmy Markham and Eddie and Pryor. And they're just like my heroes. And he wanted his album removed, so I guess he didn't like the special. But other than that, it's been nothing but good reaction.
Were you thinking about particular experiences you had or particular people you know when you wrote this?
Boy, again, it's like the Hulk syndrome. It's like, I'm not really thinking about anything. I'm just interpreting. This is like, you know, everything I said in that routine, my mother said, my father said, I hear it in barbershops. It's not like I'm, you know, it's not like I invented anything, you know.
Help me
this
out.
This has been, you know, these views have been out there forever. Just nobody said it.
You know, I couldn't help but wonder, listening to it, if a white comic said exactly the same thing you said, it would have a completely different meaning, I think.
Yes, it would. Why would a white comic want to say what I said? Why would that ever be, in what context would that ever be necessary?
So what's the difference between you saying it and a white comic saying it?
I can say it. What's the difference between someone calling your kid an idiot and you calling your kid an idiot? It's a big difference. It's a huge difference.
Your
kid knows what you mean when you say it. Your kid knows you just mean he's messing up. When somebody else says it, boy, that's mean.
Did you go through a radical black consciousness period when you were in your teens?
No. No, you know, I didn't go through I was in my teens. That's like the 80s. So it's not exactly the most conscious decade or time. You know, I was bused to school as a kid.
Mm-hmm. From where to where?
From Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn to Garrison Beach, Brooklyn, and to Bensonhurst. And, you know, I was getting called nigger since I was like in the second grade. So I never, I was always in tune with my blackness, you know, from the time I was, you know, in the second grade.
Weren't there a lot of other people from your neighborhood who got bused to Bensonhurst?
There was like a contingent, about like five of us.
Five, that's all?
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, wasn't, from my, you know, when I say the neighborhood, I'm just talking about like a block, like a two-block radius. You know, when you grow up like in a bad neighborhood, there's not a lot of venturing out. So my neighborhood was like two blocks to me. Then the rest of the neighborhood, I didn't go anywhere because anything could happen. My mother wasn't having it.
So how many African-American students would you say there were in the schools that you got
busted? In the schools, okay. I was like the only black kid in my grade a couple of times.
Wow,
I was the only black boy. And then there were like two black girls, three black girls. For like most of my grade school. And the girls had each other. I was kind of like by myself. And I would have, you know, it's weird. Even though I would get, you know, beat up and, you know, all that other stuff. Of course, my best friend would end up being white in that same environment. Then he'd get beat up for being my friend. It's a weird circle of events.
Now, I have a question about your voice. Your voice in your onstage performances, in when you're doing comedy, is much deeper, louder, and rougher than your voice in conversation, which is higher and lighter.
Right.
Almost sweeter, if I could use that word.
Oh, thanks.
And I almost feel like, gee, are you not comfortable with that voice on stage? Do you feel like you need a harder-edged voice to do your comedy?
Well, you know, it's the money's on the line. It's like people are paying $25, and they want a performance. They don't want me. They want me to be better than me. I got to look better than me. I got to be taller, louder, funny. I have to be more. So, I mean, when you're on stage, it's kind of like being a woman, you know? It's like, put on the makeup, do the hair. You know, nobody wants me. They want Chris Rock. I'm just Chris.
so you got to put on a personality on stage.
Well, I got to be bigger than I normally am. I mean, at the same token, I couldn't walk through life acting the way I act on stage.
Well, right, without getting hit a lot, probably.
Right, exactly.
Now, I meant to ask you, did you go to the Million Man March? You talk about it a little bit in your routine. Were you there?
You know what? I didn't go.
How come?
I should have went.
Did you think about it? Was it a decision to go or not to go?
Now, you know, first of all, the decision, I mean, probably the main reason I didn't go because I'm famous and I just...
Right. I don't really like being in big crowds when you're famous.
I really don't feel like being in big crowds.
Yeah. Look, there's Chris Rock.
Yeah, but there were a lot of other famous people that are more famous than me. But I don't know. I support the Million Man March and all it stood for. The whole repenting thing was like a little weird to me. Because it was kind of the whole nation, a day of, the day of?
Atoning?
Day of atoning. It was kind of, in a sense, you're saying everybody's messed up. The whole race needs to atone. It's like, hey, and at the end they had this big, everybody, you know, raise one hand. I will never hit a woman. I will never steal. I won't take drugs. I haven't done any of those things. And at the same time, I don't think I'm a Superman. I don't think I should be exalted for it. So I felt out of, you know, it was just a weird day for me.
Actually, you have something related to that that's very funny in your performance where you talk about people who brag, I'm so great, I've never hit a woman. Or,
yeah.
So I mean, great, I take care of my child. And you say, yeah, you're supposed to. I mean, that's just a given.
Yeah, it's just, a bunch of guys, I'm going to take care of my kids. Okay. That's what you need. I don't have any kids. I don't have any kids out of wedlock. I don't have any children. I don't know. Million Man March was a weird day for me. It was a weird day because I was watching it on TV actually wishing I was there. But at the same time, there were parts of it that I knew why I wasn't there. So,
I have one last question for you. It might be...
Really?
Yeah, what might seem strange to you. What, did being really skinny, do you think, affect who you became and how people thought of you? Or, you know, how you see yourself as a comic? Were you kind of scrawny as a kid?
I'm scrawny now as a man. Totally. Being skinny has affected every aspect of my life. Every decision I make, everything I put on. Put it this way. Look at my stand-up. My stand-up, I have twice as many... I always say comedy, stand-up comedy and boxing are pretty much the same. You know, boxing is to sports what stand-up is to entertainment. Because it's just a guy out there by himself. And I perform like a skinny boxer, where I don't have the ability... I don't have the ability to knock you out, so I have twice. I have you take my hour special and anybody else's hour special. I probably have twice as many jokes compact in it, because I'm so in my size has me so insecure. I'm always working twice as hard. So, yeah, being skinny has totally affected me and totally weirded me out.
But speaking of boxing,
men are
did
crazy.
You? did people fight with you a lot when you were young and take advantage of your size?
Totally.
Did you?
And the only reason they don't do it now is because I'm me.
Right, you're famous.
That's the only reason.
Did you learn to fight?
When you're as small as I am, it doesn't really matter.
Try martial arts or anything.
Martial arts. Some big guy will just grab you and throw you down. What's the point?
Did you try to cripple your opponent with comedy?
I've just, stayed out of environments and situations where fights may occur. No drinking. Like, I don't drink because I can't fight. Whatever it is, alcohol served as a bouncer because people get out of hand. So I can't, too little to be around guys that get out of hand. So I can't drink. Poor woe is me. I'm sure Woody and Spike think the same.
Right. Well, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you can have him on your show and talk about it. A little self-help.
Yeah. That's why I love Spike, Brooklyn and Skinny.
Well, Chris Rock, I wish you really good luck with your new show.
Thank you.
And thanks a lot for talking with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Chris Rock recorded earlier this year. His HBO series starts up again in September. His new CD is called Roll with the New.